really interesting, talking about New York, which reminds me of the creative thing now, that I learned from Bill Watts in the 70s, when he was co-owner, and the Booker, top baby face of our territory, that, you know, you're always better off having a top talent that was willing to contribute to their own creative. And when he stopped to hear the logic that he gave, it's almost, oh yeah. Because if you and I are going to collaborate on an idea, and the creative uses our idea, and you and I are broadcasting, we're going to work our ass off to get our idea open, because we have a little skin in the game. So I think that my point of this is that Jericho has the opportunity, thanks to Tony Khan. Tony Khan ain't got to go through a bunch of soldiers and minions and this, that, and the other. And he doesn't change his mind that often. And those kind of deals. Then Jericho knows that he can have a... He can create some content. Like everybody likes to do, create content.
Yeah.
And enjoy producing his own stuff.
And he leads by example.
Yeah.
You know, we had one of those Zoom staff meetings. Remember our talent meetings we had?
Yeah.
And Jericho spoke up. Jericho says, if you've got something that you think you want to try while we're down, videotape it.
Exactly.
Get it in. You know,
yeah.
Think of something to do. And to me, that just shows the leadership among the boys.
And I like the fact that some of the guys, like Darby Allin. Darby films a lot of those videos.
Yeah.
He creates them.
Right.
Comes up with the concept. They build his character. They show right. More of that daredevil, you know, enigma that he is.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I asked Matt Hardy the other day. He says, Darby, remind you of your brother? He said, absolutely. He said, I know you've been saying this since day one. Because he did. The lean body type at that time, when Jeff was a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, he was a skinny kid.
Yeah.
But boy, he had that fire in his eyes and that great creativity and fearless. He was fearless.
Yeah, and Darby also found out by doing that podcast with Auburn, he wanted to make films. He wanted to get into film school, or he either got into film school or something. So for him to make stuff is like, you know, his passion to be able to do something like that.
Great. I like him.
Lived in his car, too, you know.
He what?
He was homeless, lived in his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier about Cornette, so I just talked about that. You know, JR's killing his legacy, or just hurting it, or whatever. I'm not sure. I didn't hear it.
Right.
By working at AEW, or in cause specific, calling a match like the Stadium Stampede. You know, I've never had that thought once in my life. But my legacy, really my legacy in general, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. What's it mean? Does that mean how people remember, going to remember you when you're dead?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what it means.
Isn't it different per person? I mean, you know, in other words, how Cornette's going to think of you is different how some other fans are going to think of you. It's just, I mean, I just don't get that. It's just it's a bullshit term, Jim.
Yeah.
It's a bullshit term. It's a cliche is all it is.
I think it might be more cliche than anything, Tony.
Yes, of course it is.
So, you know, I've always believed that, and I got to learn this from my dad, you know. If you're going to take a man's money, you need to do what he wants you to do.
Yes.
Do the work. Do the work
if
you're accepting his money.
Yeah.
And I'm damn sure accepting Tony Khan's money.
Yes. And not only that, looking back on that Stadium Stampede match, there were some parts of that were really silly, but you can't tell me you weren't entertained.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, man. It was just...
Everything can't be a
right.
Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, Bloody Mac classic.
Yeah.
And we both called plenty of those.
Yes, we have.
And they were brilliant pieces of business, no doubt about it. Arguably the best babyface team. And arguably the best heel team I ever saw.
Yes, arguably the best manager.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing that I feel confident what you and I are doing, and I feel very proud about that we have evolved with the business. We've tried to adapt to what the business is now. You know, I mean, you, obviously, you know, you and I laugh a lot when they smack their legs and when they go in the ring and they practice their shit. You know, I mean, we look at that and we go, but still, we call it and we adapt to the business.
I walked in through an area at Daly's place here a while back with a lot of the young talents, right?
Yeah.
The high flyers.
Yep.
So there was a side, there's some here that were the catchers. Uh-huh. Here's the flyers.
Right.
And of course, ironically, the catchers all can gather at the river, so to speak. So friend or foe, they can catch the guy who's going to jump over the top rope and something that never wins a match. It's just a great risk to get another injury.
Yeah.
And now we've seen it so much, is it really that cool anymore?
Yeah, well.
So that's my point. So I walked through that little area, get to where I was going, and I said, hello, you bunch of goddamn leg-slapping bastards. Boy, they looked up like, man, did he just cut a promo on us? Was he ribbing on the square? Or is he just trying to be funny?
Yeah, I give them shit too. You know, those private party, those kids always, not always, but many times have come to me. They did recently about, you got any advice for us? And I'm thinking, no, man, I appreciate you coming to me for advice, and I'll give you what I can. I've never worked, all right? So I'm not an athlete. I don't work. But I did tell them that, you know, I said, some of the stuff you do is great, but some of the shit you'll do, and then you'll come and you'll mug to the camera.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, if you're in a real fight and you do crazy shit like that, don't jump up and talk into the camera. Right. It just takes away from
you. You wonder how many people have been in a real fight. That's what I used to say about some of the writing in WWE. When they had a very young writing staff. They were highly educated, you know, college degree guys. But their life experiences led me to believe that they're writing about things that they know they have no practical experience. So in other words, look, I'm not a straight fighter and all that, but I've been in some scuffles in my lifetime as a young guy. Fucking loud mouth.
Did you win them?
No, not all of them.
No,
I didn't win all of them. But the thing about the competition is the fighting is you got to have a feel for it. That's why I love football, because I got to play high school football. My dad was a really good player. He pushed me to be a decent player. I don't think I was ever as good as him. And then I got into officiating my first year in college. So my first year out of high school, I took a theory of sports officiating class at Northeastern State University in Telephone. And so I got my, so by the time my, the second semester of my freshman year started, I had one of the best officials in the area named John McFarland, who took me kind of under his wing. He was an instructor in that class. So our head linesman, the field judge, was only used four. We didn't have a back judge, four officials. He blew out his knee. He was a baseball coach, and he blew out his knee. So they needed a replacement. So because I did so well in the class, I was promoted as a rookie to one of the top crews in Eastern Oklahoma. 20 years I did that, Tony. I loved it. I loved it. I refereed a couple of games in the Oklahoma Intercollegiate Conference. That while Dennis Robbins was in the Southeast Oklahoma, he was not the worm we see on TV.
Yeah.
His hair was just whatever. Normal.
Yeah, just a kid.
He didn't have a lot of, he wasn't over tatted. Nothing's over tatted now. Right there on their tats. Headline, Ross hates tattoos.
Okay, so when I get my tattoo, I'll show it to you.
Yeah, I don't care. You can get a tattoo?
Yeah, I was thinking about getting Lois' name tattooed on.
You get Lois' name on your shoulder?
Yeah, I broke Lois' leg or something like that. Arm. Whatever is the leg now.
I knocked up Lois 5x.
That's right.
Actually, 4 times.
Yeah.
He's got a little extra mileage of that one. That one load. We got those twins. And I tell you what, I always thought about this, Tony. You're the first guy I think about on holidays, like Christmas, for example. And that is because I could only imagine what it looked like, what it sounded like, what it smelled like at your house at Christmas time.
Yeah, it was
with the presents and all that stuff, and to get something. This is too old. He's too old for that. This is too young for this.
Oh my God!
I bet it was amazing. The sights and sounds of a Shivani Christmas had to be one of the most coolest experiences. And as we get older, they start meaning a little bit more.
Right. Sure. And now it's taking a whole new turn, because the whole family gets together every other Christmas, because Matt lives in New York. So he'll spend one Christmas with his wife's family. Then he'll come down here and spend the Christmas with us. And now we've got grandchildren, and everybody's got dogs. One day, one Christmas, we had seven dogs in the house. Seven.
Do you have a big, easy chair where everybody kind of gathers around.
Takes
long.
Here's Papa Tony. Tell us the story.
Well, me and JR were going down the road one day. I look back at those times. I miss a lot of that stuff with my two girls. I'm trying to make up for it.
Yeah.
But boy, you know, the thing about it is, you know this better than I do. When your grandkids get their driver's license, or they're growing up, they have lives. And they perceive those lives to be just as important as grandpa's life, as they should.
Yes.
So it's just not automatic to say, hey, why don't you come over? They live in Tulsa, I live in Norman. It's a 100-mile drive.
Yeah.
So it's about 2 hours, approximately, a little less. So it's not like you just sit down the street.
No.
But I'm
glad my kids have gone out of the house. I mean, I really am. I'm glad they've got their own lives. And we love seeing them, but I mean, Jesus, Lois and I got married and we pounded out five kids. Boom, 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 boom. So now we're getting to know each other. Better or worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I understand. They get their own lives, and you're not a part of it. And if you like, sometimes you miss something.
Well, they seem to be pretty grounded kids.
Yeah.
They're young adults. I got to.
Goddamn, their grandpa was.
Yeah. Hey. Who did I meet at StarCast?
The one in Baltimore? The one in Baltimore had two of my sons there.
Okay.
Matt and Chris. You remember when the two guys brought the cake out and fell down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're both my sons.
Yeah. I can figure that out.
Yeah. Matt's the one that's been doing StarCast for a number of years now.
And all this, because of the virus, all these StarCast-like events.
Yeah.
The autograph shows.
Yep.
They're just memories right now until they're rejuvenated. And then when they're rejuvenated, what form are they going to take?
Yeah.
How do you control a line to wait to see a sign of autographs? If somebody, how do you handle that?
Yep.
Social distancing stuff.
Do you really think social distancing is forever?
I think it's going to be in our lives the rest of our lives, for sure. Now, to what extreme?
Yeah.
Don't know. But I think that things like masks and hand washing,
yeah,
Purell,
yeah, and
social distancing will all still be at play.
Yeah.
When this thing progresses, because how do you get to the point where you can declare we're COVID free? It is gone forever.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I don't know how you do it either. And then what's next, right?
Yep.
You get another virus comes up, everybody gets scared. It happens all over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, I was sitting home and, Tony Khan says, JR, you're in a high-risk group. I have to take two airplanes to get there, go through three airports, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and then Jacksonville. He said, I don't want you to come to work.
You mean I'm riding with someone who's in a high-risk group? And we're 2 feet away? So anyway,
we're not wearing masks.
Yeah, what did you say to you?
But we've both been tested so goddamn much in the last
Yes.
2 weeks.
Absolutely.
I've had 4 tests. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, keep freaking my favorite. Thank you.
I got a mask in my briefcase. So we get to the airport, you drop me off, I have my pocket ready to put it on. So
you got an AEW mask?
Yeah. I got an AEW mask and I got a
Jags
mask.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Rep. Present. You come.